We're going to be in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter number 3. Now, I want to say I appreciate Sunday school and the message this morning. I was telling Brother Kuhn, I said they might as well just put my name on it, both of them. And Lord knows where we're at and what we need. And I appreciated that the new light basically there in Corinthians that God shed on that scripture there, about those temptations there, and it just opens that scripture up totally anew. Amen. What a blessing it is. Amen. Joshua chapter 3, let's begin reading verse number 1. And Joshua rose up early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, and he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for the day. Thank you for your love, your mercy, and your graces. Again, thank you, Lord, for the morning session as we look forward to tonight's service and then to what you have before us or for us each night this week. We pray and ask that you would just help us to be faithful to the house of God and help us, Lord, come expecting something from the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that you would I'll be with the preacher the rest of the week, that you would anoint him with the messages each time, each night. And Lord, you know what we stand in need of. As Brother Shepherd has mentioned, not only financially with the radio station and all the activities in this anniversary, but Lord, spiritually for this church, I pray and ask that you would just prepare our hearts to receive what you have for us. And we ask and pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Of course, I could have kept on reading, but we're going to, you know, look at some, probably the end of this chapter and then kind of sum things up here in chapter number 4. But the message that the Lord, of course, was up at the hospital Friday, and Brother Shepherd looked over at me and and asked me if I could be ready to preach tonight. And I said I would. Of course, Friday was Friday. And all that went on with Friday, yesterday I was doing something, I don't know, with my taxes or something. I think it was with my taxes, and I was figuring out all the times I had preached out this past year, and then it hit me, oh, Brother Shepherd said something about preaching tomorrow night. And so I began to pray and ask the Lord to direct me to the passage and the message that he would have me to go in, and I couldn't help but to just be directed to this a passage of scripture, but the Lord wanted me to preach here, and the title of the message, for sake of title's sake, I know Brother Big Boy back there, he's like, what is he going to title it? Standing at the brink of something wonderful. Amen. Standing at the brink of something wonderful. You know, looking forward, as I mentioned kind of in my prayer, and maybe a little bit as the things that were said this morning in Sunday school and the preaching hour these past few times, just the fact that we are going into revival services. It is the 40th anniversary and this is a bigger marathon, and we do have a lot of things going on there. And I'm hoping and trusting that folks, our listeners will jump in and maybe show up on Friday, and the listener Appreciation Day and come by and get a hot dog. And Lisa was, after her procedure on Friday, was transported back to the same day surgery. She had to lay flat for a couple of hours there. And the younger nurse, nurse come in, probably in her mid-20s, maybe mid and late 20s, I'd say. And somehow it come about, she's seen her his hat and his shirt. And she mentioned something, and we got introduced ourselves. And she's like, really? And she said, I listen to that all the time. And later on, she told me that where she was reminded of it, said her daddy was a pastor. Daddy had something to do years ago with a little radio station there across from Walmart over in Central City. And she goes to church there in Central City. So Christian radio and Southern gospel music, and they had kind of fallen away from WSOF as far as knowing us. And she said she was up at the Dollar General in Sacramento, Kentucky here a while back. And said it. She heard it was blaring, as she put it that way. She said WSOF was just blaring. And she said the song, Stand Still, by the Isaacs, come on. She said, I like that song. And then it was Sister Sharon. Sister Sharon said, well, that's a radio station out of our church. And so she was reacquainted with it, and she's been listening ever since. And then she went out one more time, come back in. She said, I called my 19-year-old sister and said, guess who I met? Amen. And I met Brother Shepherd and Brother Bell, and she said the 19-year-old said, really? You're kidding. And Lisa's laying up there. She goes, I thought it was all about me. I thought it was my day, and here are you guys. But it is a blessing, to know that the radio station is used and continue to be used in that. And that younger people, people still, her age, it was really an encouragement to me seeing her age, and then that her 19-year-old sister was encouraged, about the station as well. And so who knows what the Lord might do, right. And especially in this renewal here, this 40th anniversary and all that's going on there. But at the same time, is it Wenzel, right? Yes. Brother Tommy Wenzel coming in. I've talked with him on the phone years ago, and that's as far as I got. He had some things going when I was in the area, and so I understood that. But since he's got a broadcast on, I have appreciated the times that I have been able to hear his messages, just his style and everything. I don't know. There's just something that bears witness with my witness or my spirit is, and so on and so forth with his preaching. And I appreciate the preaching that I hear from him. And I'm looking forward to this week, really am, and especially based on these last several weeks and what the Lord's been doing in my heart, and just really looking forward and just knowing that God's got to do something for me. I'm looking forward for something. We all need to kind of come with that expectation each night. And talking about Miss Sharon again, I was talking to Stevie back here a week or so ago, and she thought that I said Brother Smith. And she went, oh, no, did you say Elliot Smith? And I said, no. So we was talking about our revival years gone by, and there was times, people come in like this, wondering what the Lord might do that night, whether it's going to be one of those high services or one that's going to be those paying your hide, blood and guts on the wall services and one thing another. And so, but, there was an anticipation there. And I got to think, as I was looking at this, of course, he used Joshua here in this passage of scripture. And we see that in this and in this event that takes place here in this passage of scripture, that the Lord used this to show the children of Israel that he, verse number 7, and the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. So God uses men, and I was reminded of this morning, and so on and so forth. Men has a place, men has a use for God and His service, and as much about service has been mentioned already today. And of course, here in this passage of Scripture, that the Lord just put His stamp on Joshua before all the congregation of the children of Israel. And I got to thinking about Brother Smith. He probably hasn't been in a 5-week revival service since. Is it 96, right? So that's 21 years ago. It began at the end of February, 21 years ago. Here we are. I just couldn't think, it's been that long. But, probably hadn't been in a 5-week revival service back then. Since then or whatever, God used him. It wasn't in the man. It was God. God just happened to use that man. And God has used other men through the years, both in our pastor and both with men that have frequented this pulpit through the years at different times. I remember I could just tell story after story and be a skyscraper preacher. Amen. Tonight, and just tell all the stories of the men of God that have impacted my life through the years, and specific messages or specific times that God spoke to me very specifically, in my life and brought me to or through certain things in my life. But we see that here. And so looking at this coming week and thinking about all that's going to be happening, hopefully, this week, not only the financial, $40,000 is the goal for this 40th anniversary. And that'll be something to get. Amen. And then just the fact of we know that some of the lower marathons, but God knows, what we stand in need of, and God's able I appreciate Sister Kristen's testimony there. And I couldn't help but to think the fact, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but the fact that we read it here in verse number 10, Joshua said, "Hereby ye know that the living God is among you, and he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites." So God was with the children of Israel, he's with the Barnetts over here. He's with every one of us, and he knows what we stand in need of, and he's there to fight our battles for us, just like he was with the children of Israel of old. And so standing at the brink of something wonderful, and I take my text out of verse number 8, "And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, When ye are come to the brink of the water Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan." Of course, through the years we hear at Island Ford, and I wrote some of this down. I don't normally do this. I'm just normally off the cuff, but I did write some things down. We here at Island Ford have been brought to this place many times. And on at least one occasion, I believe we crossed over. And I believe there in 96. As we know that the crossing of the Red Sea has been depicted as a type of salvation for the children of Israel, and the crossing of the River Jordan here in our text is the type of entering into the Spirit-filled life or abundant life that God has available for his children. Amen. So you know the story. They cross out of Egypt through dry land at the Red Sea, and then wandered around in the 40 years because of their unbelief. Right. They could have been in Jordan a long time ago, but because of their unbelief, and then they wandered in the wilderness until all those unbelievers died, right, except for two. And they wasn't unbelievers. They're the ones that come back with a positive witness. Right. And that was Joshua and Caleb. And finally, come around to the time where they're standing at the River Jordan, and the Jordan is out of its banks, as it was at this time of year. We'll see here in just a minute. But they're standing there getting ready to cross the river, and God gives them this commandments, some things to do here at the beginning of the chapter that we just read. 21 years ago this month, that's where our five-week revival began, though a man was used. I kind of already said this. He was simply a vessel of God for that time, for that place, as I reminded during Sunday school this morning. Amen. There is a place for every one of us and a time for every one of us. And again, just been doing some examination in my heart, my life. He's had me out and he's had me in. And I get to questioning whether I was right when I went out and whether I was right when I come in. I mean, things like that. But I know that I want a place and God's got a place. I'm just looking for the place. And then, of course, circumstance of life comes up. And we in the flesh sometimes want to lean on that crutch of circumstances, saying, "Why I can't do something, oh my." Or we just allow those circumstances to get in the way, amen, of doing something for God, amen, and his service. So we need to just find, the service and find what that time and that place for such a time as this. I mean, I don't understand all that God's doing in my life. I'm looking for him to do more. But like I said before, if God's dealing with me maybe on some of these things, God might be dealing with other people, right, on some things like that. We are on the eve of our anniversary marathon, scheduled services each night. As was mentioned this morning, none of us here or were here when the station began. But we had the privilege of seeing God do great things with this ministry through the years. And now we have reached this milestone. Likewise, with the expectation of Joshua and Caleb, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb, all the congregation of Israel had only heard of the deliverance of Israel through the plagues and the Passover and the crossing of the Red Sea. Because God killed all the ones that had seen that in the wilderness journeyings, except for Joshua and Caleb. So they had only been rehearsed. And the Passover would roll around year after year. It was, it was going back. And still yet, to this day, when the Passover is celebrated in Israel, it goes back to the deliverance out of out of Egypt. So it's rehearsed. And it was rehearsed to these men. A lot of people didn't see that. Joshua and Caleb did, but that's it. And so of all the congregation that went in, and it was a great congregation that went in. And let me see here. If I can find this, and we'll see how many it was. But there was quite a bit. Verse 13 of chapter 4, about 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho. So that was just the 40,000 prepared for war. That's not their women, and it's not their children, obviously. But 40,000, that's a pretty good army, amen, that passed over. So quite a host of people here. It's quite a host of people had never seen the miracle of the Red Sea. They'd been rehearsed. They'd never seen the plagues in Egypt. They'd been rehearsed before them. They'd never seen the Passover, that night. But they had been rehearsed before them. But we never seen the start of this. But it had been rehearsed to us. We never seen some of the times. And then some people in this congregation has never heard some of the stories about the times that WSOF could have been ended, if you will, or could have fallen into other hands and this, that, and another. But God spared it, and God kept it from falling into bankruptcy and other things through the years. And we, you know, some of us has heard those stories, some of us haven't, but nonetheless, we're here. We're standing on this brink of this coming week and the events that's coming before us. And so we have seen some things. We've seen lightning strike the tower, and I mean literally come through just a ball of and blow light sockets. I mean the plug sockets out of the wall, and just devastated. We've seen floods. And one time I tried to get old to Brother Hall, and you talk to somebody that talks to somebody that talks to somebody, and the message changes slightly each time. I was trying to get old to Brother Hall to let him know that a tree had fallen here in on the auditorium, and it had fallen on the roof, or just laid just enough of the roof that it was leaking, and water was dripping off that speaker. One morning he was in Mexico, and trying to get the word to him, what to do and what was going on and so forth. Of course, it had gotten bigger by the time it got to him. He finally called back. Well, at least it got his attention. He called back, "What's going on?" And of course, I got to dreading all their trips to Mexico, because it seemed just like all of what's happening with our people today. But right before the revival services, it seemed like any time they went to Mexico and they was that far away, something would happen around here and be on me to fix. Amen. But anyway, or me or whoever was left behind. But that happened that one time. So we've seen things happen around here. And God has used just insurance money. God has used that to sustain us. God has used people that come through that has given us things. Hardware stores, tracts of timber. That was before my time, but God used that to sustain the ministry and use that person through the years in a mighty way. And she's gone on to be with the Lord now, and we could just tell stories. But God has, some of us have seen it. Some people, like the Kuhns and others that have not been around that all that long, hasn't seen a lot of it. We can tell it. But this week, we might see some great and mighty things done, and in the years to come. And I'm hoping that we will. And just standing here as these, because again, it hasn't. Some of these things haven't been seen by these people. We see that in verse number 4, the last part, that ye may know the way which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. These people hadn't passed this way before. They was told to stay a certain distance between the priest and the ark, so that they could, you can see where to go a little bit quicker. When you get right up behind somebody, it's a little bit more difficult to know which way they might be going, unless they signal really good. Amen. But if you leave yourself a little bit of this, it'll give you time to turn, time to adjust if you're following somebody there. Let's see here. Okay, crossing the Red Sea, but they had only seen God's sustaining hand. But they had seen God's sustaining hand during the wilderness journeys, and now are looking to see God do wonders before them, which most have never experienced before. Of course, the word water, when these priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant saying, "When ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan." So we see the brink of the water. Of course, my message is titled "Standing at the Brink of Something Wonderful." They stood at the brink of the water, and we know by hermeneutical principles that the moving water is a type of the Holy Spirit of God.
Right.
And so the Jordan is out of its banks, amen, and they're getting ready to cross over into the promised land, cross over into the blessings of God, and they're standing here at the river, and the Spirit of God is moving, amen. And so we see that. But then they had to stand still in the brink. And at the brink of the water, the priests were told to stand still in Jordan. And so we see the wonders here, standing on the brink of something wonderful. Verse number 5, "And Joshua said unto the people, Sanctify yourselves for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." So there's some things that's going to get ready to happen that some folks have just ain't never quite seen before. Amen. And I couldn't help but to think, going back, I know we go back often, but it's 21 years ago, and it seems like yesterday for those that was here, but there's so many people that wasn't here, and they keep hearing about 96.
Yeah.
But you maybe not experienced. You've never been this way before. You never seen anything quite like it. I had never seen anything quite like it. Amen. Of course, Sister Sharon, she thought that I mentioned Brother Smith. I said, no, we're talking about something. She goes, And so we got to talking about that just a little bit. She goes, but, you know, it was just a time that you just almost worried sometimes to get come to that. But you were coming in anticipation what God might do, even if it was coughing up all the sins since kindergarten. Amen. So on and so forth. But he done a great work. And folks were saved in that meeting. Folks were saved as a result of that meeting. And we went on for quite some time. To see personally where I've gotten, to see where my family has gotten. I've got children that wasn't here during that time, wasn't born during that time. In fact, the three children that are here was not born during that time. To have them to see some of that and to experience some of that is a longing that I have as a father, you know, as they are young people, and it won't be too many much longer that they're out on their own. But to have them experience what we experience, a revival, you know, and in our hearts and our lives. And it's been said, come looking for something each night, you know, when we come in. And sometimes having to disconnect a little bit from the marathon and all that, if we can, just a little bit, but just come with expectations, great expectations. You know, when Joshua through these officers that passed through the host, you know, that told all of the congregation what was getting ready to happen. When ye see these priests bear the ark, leave, and then you get up and follow them. You know, that anticipation, you know, what's going to happen when we follow the ark, you know. They obviously had seen the river out of its banks, and they obviously, you know, realized that it was going to be a great event, if you will, to get that many people and all that stuff and all across the River Jordan, which was out of its banks. But they went with great expectation and great anticipation. And, you know, anytime we come to the house of God, each Sunday and each Wednesday night, we should come with that anticipation. We've fallen away from that. I have. But then when we go into special services, we should come with anticipation. We go into the marathons, we should come with anticipation to see what the Lord might just be doing and might be ready to do. And we should pray with some expectations. Amen. Lord, you know what I need. And Lord, will you please give it to me this week? Amen. And bring me to the place a little higher ground. Lord, lift me up. And let me stand, amen, just that next higher ground, that next plane that the Lord might have for us. And so there were some conditions to see this wonder, if you will. said, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you, standing at the brink of something wonderful. There were some conditions God demanded of the people before their crossing. First, they were to follow the Ark of the Covenant, or follow God, since the Ark of the Covenant is typified as the presence of God. Here in verse number 3, and they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. So they were to follow God, basically. Amen. Follow God. And then that, his and then be obedient to his direction. Verse number 4. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. So there was a specific instruction on how to follow God, amen, and just how far back to follow. And the reason even was given, why? Because they hadn't been this way before, and again, that distance between them allowed them to see the priest and the ark, and be able to know which way that God was going. Amen. So specific, they had to follow God in His command, then had obedience in His direction. Follow a certain distance from the priest bearing the ark. Thirdly, they were to sanctify themselves. Verse number 5, and Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Sanctify themselves before they could cross over into that abundant life, into that promised land. Amen. Then they had to be sanctified. They had to cleanse themselves. They had to examine themselves and see. We sing the song, it's based on the word of God, search me, O God, and know my heart, try me. And basically, you know, lots of times we sing that song as an invitation, but really when you read hear the hymn history, it's and sometimes you look into the topical part of your index in your song books, it's under a call to worship, or it's under a consecration to worship. In other words, a time that as we're coming into the house of God to just a self-examination. Lord, is there anything in my heart? Is there anything in my life that's going to keep me, amen, from seeing the wonder that you have for me this week? Is there anything that's going to keep me from experiencing all that you've got for me this week? And not only this week, but in the weeks to come and just in my life in general. God, I'm looking for great things in my life. I'm looking for great things in my family. I want great things for my life and my family. But Lord, I know that I got to be right with you before I see these things. And so there's a sanctification process. There's a cleansing process. And that's a personal thing. You know, Joshua didn't do it for them. They had to do it for themselves. It's a self examination. Examine yourselves. Amen. The Bible talks about, and there's several different instances and several different examples in the Word of God where there's a time of self-examination just to see that we, you know, where we stand before God. And like I said, I was doing a whole lot of that in Sunday school, at the end of Sunday school, and I was doing a whole lot of that at the end of the preaching this morning too. Amen. And just and then in the preaching in the weeks previous weeks, just again seeing, you know, where God, in fact, let me just share this with you. I'll just show you where I've been getting hit. And Brother Benjamin Williams, when he was here, and he was there in just his presentation of his ministry. In verse 16 there of John 15, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go. I said, oh. When he read that, the Lord just hit me square in the eyeballs, right between the eyes and my heart, and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of your Father in my name, ye shall give it you. And then I don't know if it was that same night or the next prayer room, Brother Hall talked about, just in conversation, Brother Hall just said something about, you know, God calls somebody, he's got a place for him. And I said, ooh. And then I began, Lord, you got a place. Please show me that place. Amen. And show me, and it could be this place, at least for some time. Just, you know, but then stepping down, I mean, went part-time from 10 hours a week on the radio station to 5 hours a week, you know, with my job change and everything, and then to no hours a week. And so that there's that void there, and I'm like, Lord, that was a service, but what's a service that you have for me now? And so those are the things that's going on in my heart, in my life. And then again, just seeing, you know, where we was 21 years ago and where we are now and my home, and just realizing, you know, things have fallen. And then coming down to this place, I want to see great and mighty things done in my heart. I want to see great and mighty things done in my family's life, standing on the brink of something wonderful. But I realize that one of his prerequisites is, number one, to follow him and follow his, you know, basically his, follow him, his presence, follow his commandments, his direction, if you will. But to do that, we have to sanctify ourselves. Amen. Right. Before we go, we got to sanctify it. Before we get across, you know, and I've said it before, and it's one of those things, men of God, is, you know, that some men, I still remember a message, except for one point. I still remember a message Dale Massengill preached 26 years ago. It was the first preacher's fellowship that I went to in Louisville when I got here. And he brought a message, and I can't remember that last alliterated point. I know the type of hammer he pulled out of his bat bag, but I can't remember any, and I mentioned it to him and he couldn't remember it either. But I remember all the other points. You know, and can tell you right now and what they are. But then, and then, of course, Brother Marion Atkinson there in, you know, John 10:10, when he stood in this pulpit and said, I come that you might have life, comma, and that you might have it more abundantly. And he said to his church, what side of the comma are you living on? Amen. And most of us are living on the life side of the comma. We've got life, comma. Amen. We've got eternal life. I can stand and testify that if I died right now, that I would go to heaven because I trusted in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior.
Amen.
But that other, and that ye might have life more abundantly.
Right.
That's the other side of the comma. That's the other side of the Jordan River.
Yeah.
You know, that's where we have been on the brink of and even crossed over. Amen. We didn't fully conquer the land, I don't think, when we crossed over in 96. Or we might still be living on it. Amen.
Yeah.
But we did cross over, at least to Gilgal, maybe even to Jordan. I don't know. But we crossed over. We seen the promised land. We seen some of that abundant life. We experienced that in our hearts and our lives and our families. And from time to time, when we've come up to the brink and the edge of the water since then, there's been a desire. There's been a taste of that life on the other side of Jordan. Too many times we're like the two and a half tribes that said, they followed them over right here. I can give you the scripture here. We might hit that in a second. They crossed on over. They were part of the fighting crew.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. They crossed over, but then they went back.
Right.
And so it is, obviously it is capable. You are capable of going back. Amen. Those two and a half tribes did.
Right.
They went over, they conquered the land, and they said, all right, here's your abundant life. We're going back over to the wilderness.
Yeah.
And they seen the grapes of Eshcol. They seen the Nether Springs and the other springs. The Caleb said, I want that mountain. They seen the mountain. They seen the grapes. They seen all the land that flows with milk and honey. They seen all that, but they said, nope, our cattle's on the other side, and we're going to go back over there. Okay.
Yep.
And too many times, how many of that is us?
Yep.
We've seen it, we tasted it, but we want to live over there. We've seen it, we tasted it, and we're just going to go back. We're here if you need us. We can still see it. We're just not going to live there.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Because there's a price to living there.
Right.
Amen. This sanctification is part of that price. Staying sanctified, staying right with God, staying in the will of God, and not crossing back on over. Amen. And so we have to sanctify ourselves. Finally, the priests were to stand still. And this is hard. Going back to that girl listening to that Isaac song there in Dollar General in Sacramento, stand still. and let God move, the song says. And it goes on to say, standing still is hard to do. And I said, oh my, that's exactly right. To just come into a meeting and say, and God said, all right, you're sanctifying yourself, you're praying, and you're asking forgiveness, you're trying to examine yourself, you're sanctifying yourself going into the meeting. But then when you get into the meeting, and God might just say, stand still.
Yeah.
And that's one of my biggest problems. I have a tendency not to stand still long enough and let God move. And I confess that before you. And so we see this as well. He told Moses the same thing in Exodus chapter 14, verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever.
Yeah.
Verse 14 says, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. So he had done given these to their forefathers. They had said, stand still. God's going to fight your battles for you. Amen. God's going to open up a way, and you're going to see your enemies no more. And then he tells these the same thing. He tells the priest to stand still in Jordan. And then he tells in verse number 10 that he is going to drive without fail out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites, all them sites. All them ites, amen. You know, and going into revival, I'm wondering how many of them ites we've got in our hearts and our lives. How many we've allowed to come back in, kind of like the Amalekites, you know. He's in Samuel. And I mean, you know, the new term and the 21st century term, I guess it's before that, but we've heard it a lot in the 20th and 21st century, about genocide. I mean, he told Saul, and he'll get to that in a few weeks. He told Saul to kill them all.
Right.
Man, woman, boy, girl, suckling,
right.
Ass, sheep, everything. Kill it all.
Right.
Not let anything to live. Kill it all. But how many times have we went into a revival service? I couldn't help but to think the last night, the last message of that 5 weeks, when he preached on Lot's wife looking back, you know, and then God, I mean, sent a snowstorm, sent sickness, and God said, I am done with this meeting. And I got to thinking, Lord, was it me that looked back? Who was it that looked back? Somebody looked back. It might have been more than somebody. More than one somebody looked back. And God said, that's it. We're done. You look back. And we was done. I had to take Brother Hall some medicine up around his house. And he lived up on a hill in Hanson. And the way that the wind blew around his house, it just blew adrift. And so it might be this deep going in up to the... But around his house was a pile of snow this high. And then it went down, and then you got to his porch. And I had took him some medicine up there. I'd like to never got in. But, I mean, and Brother Smith and Brother Mike Moody was stuck here at the church. And, of course, the front was different back then. And they said we'd get a cup of coffee, and we'd go to this room, and we'd look out the window for a little while at the snow. And then we'd go into another room. We'd sit down and drinking their cup of coffee, look out of this window. They couldn't go nowhere. They just had to move room to room drinking coffee all day, which is not bad, but still. God shut down the meeting because somebody looked back. And I'm just thinking, who didn't want to get rid of that Amalekite?
Yeah.
Who left Agag alive?
Yeah.
Oh, me. You know, it's just a little pet Girgashite. It's not that big of an, what's the one of them other ites? It's not that big parasite. It's not that Hittite there, that Hivite, they ain't gonna hinder us too much in our walk with God. Oh yeah.
Yes, sir.
They will.
You're right.
And we need to let God get them all out.
Amen.
He said he will drive them out, but sometimes you gotta let him drive them out of your life. We keep these things in our lives, and that's the this kind of you know, going into revival services. Oh, what God is going to make me get rid of now. That's what we're afraid of. Instead of looking at the milk and the honey, instead of looking at the grace of Eschyl, instead of looking at the springs of living water, instead of looking at all the blessings that we can have in God, we look at what God might say we need to get rid of when we sanctify ourselves.
Right.
And that's where we're living. We're too worried about what God might want us to give up. And Brother Hall has said it time and time and time again. If God takes something away from you, He's going to replace it with something that's much better for you. Amen. You know, you might have to say, give this up. But God's going to say, look, if giving this up gets you this, and it's a bigger, better blessing. If giving this up that appeals to the flesh gets you more of me, amen,
right,
and more of my blessings in your life, then why should we not give those things up?
Right. Amen.
But too many times we want to hang on to them Agags.
Yep.
I'll never forget the preacher that preached out of that Satan text. And he had one of them little like cans that bleated like a sheep, you know. You turn it over, he had it up his sleeve. And every time he'd read that passage of Scripture, what meaneth the bleeding of the sheep, he'd raise his arm and he'd go, I'm just telling you, it makes you think when you're sitting out there going, oh, what sheep that have I led? Only the choice sheep that I've kept back for sacrifice to you, Lord. No, he said, kill them all. Kill them all. Not the choice of these things. Not the king of these things.
Right.
Kill them all.
Right.
But he kept it back. And it kept back God's blessings on his life. We know the story. But so too many times we're standing at the brink of something wonderful. But too many times we're not willing to sanctify ourselves. We're not willing to follow God. We're not feeling his direction. We're not willing to follow his commandments. We're not willing to sanctify ourselves. And then we hinder ourselves from seeing these wonderful things. Lord, help us. And then what happened, I like this. I didn't put it in my notes, but I want to hit this. Excuse me. So we see that the Lord fought for them in Exodus 14:13 with the Egyptians. And the Lord's going to promise that he would drive out before them all that was in that land. But then what happened when the priest stood still in the water? And he says what happens here. let's see here. Where is it? Let's see here. I'll find it. Okay. Rest. There we go. Verse number 13. We didn't get that far. Let's just read 11. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. And this is just kind of like a little side note, but we see what he does with these men in verse 12 here in a moment. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe of man. And he just goes off to something else. He's like, what? Why is that there? But you see them in a minute. Verse number 13, and it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And I've read this before, and I've looked this up before, and it's just been a blessing to me. I don't know if I've ever used it before, but it has been a blessing to me. What happened was when the priest stood still in the brink of the water, when all the priests that bore the ark, when there were soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord, and then it says what happened. It said, the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan. And I looked at that word rest. It gives the connotation of sitting down or even laying down. So it says, when the priests enter into Jordan, that God is just going to sit down and rest. I mean, and what happened was God sat down there in Jordan. And as somebody as big as God sits down, And all that water come up against God, it just started going up straight up. Amen. It just created a calm. God, it said it right there. Yeah. The Lord shall rest in the waters of Jordan. Okay, he sets down. So all the water starts piling up against God. And it just goes up and up and up and up. And that's the way I read it. I mean, that's the way, you know, I look at it. He rests or he laid down one. But and so therefore, to get on the other side of God, of Jordan from the wilderness side, guess what? You're going literally through God.
Yeah.
You're not going to do it without God. And you're not going, the Holy Spirit, which is the type of the moving waters, God rested and they had to pass through God to get to the other side. You're not going to do it without God. And yes, God uses men. God used Joshua. God used Brother Smith. God used, you know, Brother Hall. God used lots of other men that have passed through, and lots of men that preached had a heart for revival through these years. I've heard so many messages. Brother Hall, he would go here and he'd preach it here, but he'd preach it out too. And God used him in that way, preaching revival. Brother Ronnie Simpson, heart and preaches a whole lot on revival. And Brother Percy Ray and others, we can just name names and preachers we've heard through the years preaching on revival and so on and so forth. And then the testimony of the Shantun revival, the testimony of Turkey Creek revival, the testimonies that that we've got and we've heard. And but to do that, God uses men. And again, much has been said about service. God uses us and God uses men. But the bottom of the line is, before to get over, you're going to have to pass through God. God is the avenue, if you will, to get to the other side. And you're not going to go through God unless you sanctify yourselves there in verse number 5. You know, He is holy.
Amen.
And you're not going to come before His presence without that sanctification.
Right.
And so he sat down in Jordan. He rested in Jordan. That's the Bible.
Amen.
But that gives, and you look up the word rest, it says sit down or lie down. Just like you do when you get home. You rest. You sit down in the recliner or on the couch. Or you lay down on the couch. But God rested.
Right.
And then the waters just come up against God and started piling straight up into a column there. And it says, so from that the cut off, rewind, let's see here. Rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. So they just keep heaping up. Can you imagine the people that seen that ain't never seen nothing quite like this before?
Yeah.
They had heard about the wind blowing and the water parting at the Red Sea and walking over on dry ground. But many of these have been born in the wilderness in these 40 years journey.
Right.
And they've heard stories, but they never quite seen nothing quite like this before. And there was times through the years that we've left here saying, I've never seen nothing quite like that before. Amen. And I want that again so bad in my life, because I realize where I've gotten so far not having that. And so coming in again, standing on this brink, this eve of this 40th anniversary, and I'm looking forward to this. And we've been asked to pray about this and so on and so forth. And I'm hoping that the Lord does great and mighty things and wonders before us. Amen. So he said he would do wonders among you, and it was a wonder.
Yes, sir.
When this all transpired, I mean, I can see the people. All the river on this side is done dried up. All the way, this is a dry riverbed, like out in Tucson, Arizona. It's just a dry riverbed. But on this side, you see the water come down so far, and then it goes straight up in there. And they're walking on dry ground. Going across, and I can just say, so that was just it was something wonderful. And what a blessing.
Amen.
And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as they bear the Ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the Ark were dipped into the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth, there's the overflowing of the banks, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks at all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho, And the priests that bare the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all of Israel passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. So, what a promise, what a wonder. And all this happened for a reason. And we're going to see this in the reason is at the end. So, let's see here. So, let me get the first part of chapter 4, and then the end of chapter 4 is the reason, the witness. So, standing at the brink of the something wonderful, we see the water, the wonders, and then, or the wonder, I should say, this miracle here that happened, and then it all happened for a witness. But we're going to see here, and part of the witness is this. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men. There's them 12 men again. Out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up, every man of you, a stone upon his shoulder. So this is no small stone. This is one that had to be carried on your shoulder. A pretty good sized stone. All right? Men carried them. All right? On their shoulder. According to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in the time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. So while those 12 men each took a stone over to where they lodged, this is what Joshua was doing. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest, which bare the ark of the covenant, stood, and they are there unto this day. For the priest which bare the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished, that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people according to all that Moses commanded Joshua. And the people hasted and passed over. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over, that the ark of the Lord passed over. And the priest, in the presence of the people, and the children of Reuben and the children of Gad, here they are, and the half-tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the children of Israel, as Moses spake unto them. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord into battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come up out of Jordan. Joshua commanded the priests, saying, come ye up out of Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto the dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned unto their place and flowed over all his banks as they did before. And the people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. And here's the reason, here's the witness, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. What mean ye these stones? What mean ye this memorial? These 12 stones set up. And he said, rehearse these in all your children, generations to come. that ye might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty,
Amen.
That ye might fear the Lord your God forever, that all the people of the earth might know.
Right.
You know, and it's still God. The only way to get through, to get on the other side is through God. He rested, amen, and go God's way by His commandments. That, again, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty. Not Joshua.
Right.
Not the fact that the people sanctified themselves. Look at me.
Yeah.
You know, this is what I did to get across Jordan. You didn't do nothing to get across Jordan.
Right.
Except walk.
Yeah.
On dry land that the Lord fixed for you.
Right.
You just followed Him. You sanctified yourself and followed Him. And that's what it's all about. But who gets the glory? So many times, there's where we get off on our walk is, look at me.
Yep.
Look what I'm doing. And we get to looking at a man.
Yes.
You know, I got to thinking about, the Lord uses men. And these men that I mentioned before, in my life, the Lord's used these men. But we can get our eyes on men and off of God. You know, they could, and yes, the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, that they feared him as they feared Moses all his life. He did do that, but all this was done. The 12 stones were set up on the other side there in Gilgal, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Everything that we do is for God's sake. Amen? Everything, that's the bottom line. Solomon, we've heard it read before. And there in Ecclesiastes, chapter number 12. And you know where I'm going. But let's read it. I said chapter 12, Song of Solomon. I'm in the wrong one here. There we go. Chapter 12, verse number 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Fear God and keep His commandments. That's exactly what they did to get over into Jordan. They kept His commandments. He said, get up when God moves. When the Ark of the God moves, Ark of the Covenant of the Lord moves by the priest's hands, you get up and follow it.
Right.
You follow it a certain distance and sanctify yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Sanctify yourself. And then it again goes back to that ye might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty.
Amen.
That all the earth might, all the people of the earth might know. And I couldn't help, I didn't go there, I didn't look up the scripture, but I couldn't help but to think when Elisha, after receiving the mantle, he come back. Where he is,
yep.
The Lord God. And that Jordan parted, and it was here.
That's right.
That he passed over.
Sure.
And they said that the stones were there until this day.
Yep.
In the ones in the river. And I imagine Elisha and those young men that was there looking where they were. They seen them stones, 12 stones in the river, 12 stones on the other side of the river. They're probably the only ones that seen him since the river went back down. It was Elisha when he passed over, and them others that was witnessing to the whole, all the events.
Right.
12 stones in the river, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever.
Yeah.
He's going to fight the battles for you. He did for the children of Israel at the Red Sea. He said that he was going to drive out. Without fail. How did he put it right here? Yeah. That he will without fail drive out from before you all the things that stand in your way, basically.
Amen.
All these people that stand in your way of obtaining the promised land, he's going to drive them out. But there are certain things we got to do. Sanctify ourselves. And look unto him, the author and the finisher of our faith.
Amen.
And so there's a witness. The witness that the Lord is mighty. Amen. So we see the witness here in the fact of those 12 stones. And those are set up. And those are some stones. There's some landmarks that we've set up through the years.
Amen.
we can look back to, and we can go back and we can see this as testimony, and we can testify to my three children that are here that didn't see 96. Didn't, maybe it was too little when they seen some of the other things that happened through the years, but we can have a testimony.
Amen.
And then going into this 40th anniversary, we can sit back behind the microphones and testify of the great things that the Lord has done for WSOF in 40 years.
Amen.
And we have been a part, many of us been a part of it for many, many years. Brother Hall, 28, 29 years. You've been here 2 years, 26 years, so 28 years, 29 years, right? Whatever. He was here before I was. He got here in 87, December of 87, and I moved here in October of 91. And so through the years, and people, you know, you hear the stories how God has used the radio station.
Amen.
Whether it's the deacon that gets saved on the side of the road or that college student that got saved on the side of the road, the farmer in his tractor that had to pull over on the side of the field, had a radio in his tractor out there in the fields, got saved. And just story after story, how God sustained us through insurance. God sustained us through the sale of a hardware store. God sustained us through the sale of timber on a land. God sustained us through so many different ways.
Amen.
You're talking about holding a check. I was here this time. God sustained us using got many of God's people. But one time, I mean, it was Friday of the marathon, and we didn't have a paycheck. We was going to have to hold our paychecks. Brother Hall gets a phone call and says, how much do you need to cover the paychecks? Brother Hall told him, a little while, a station wagon come pulling. The man had a station wagon. That was his work truck, basically, his van. He had a station wagon. A station wagon come pulling in, and he comes carrying in $100 bills. Brother Hall held out his hand and said, that'll take care of payroll. And I said, praise God. Amen. And God uses men, but it's God that does it. God magnified himself through all these events through the years, and we can sit and we can testify that, and we can see it again.
Right.
We stand on the brink. We're standing on the edge of the water. But Lord, but what are we going to do? I mean, we come into these meetings this week. Yes, we got visiting singers coming in, visiting preacher coming in, and we got all the things going on in there. But can we turn ourselves inward? Can we turn the magnifying glass and the mirror, basically? Turn a mirror toward us and look at a magnifying glass and see what might be in our hearts and our lives and keep us from crossing on over. Are we following God like we ought to, His commandments? Are we obeying Him in His precepts like we ought to? Is there anything in our lives that we need to sanctify ourselves and get things out of our lives? We might cross on over and see something wonderful. See these wonders that God might have before us this week. Amen. And that's my thoughts tonight. I've been examining myself from several weeks back. But then this morning, too, I'm just telling you, I said that was for me. And, of course, a lot of other people said the same thing. Said you might as well put my name on it. And then throughout, and of course, as I was going through this, again, that self-examination.
Amen.
There's something in your life that's keeping you and your family from crossing on over Jordan. I'd hate to see us stand on the brink and still see the waters go up, waters come down, other people cross over.
Yep.
But we just stay on this side, in the wilderness and happy to be here. That's okay for you. You can have the abundant life. You can have all the blessings of God. I'll just stay over here in the wilderness like those 2.5 tribes. I don't understand them. But when we have so much in
Amen.
God, but there are certain prerequisites for us to cross on over. And we need to follow God in those prerequisites. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we stand on this brink of revival services, as we stand on this brink, this eve of the 40th anniversary of WSOF, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for these 40 years WSOF has been on the air, and Lord, for allowing me to be a part of the station these many years and others here. Lord, we thank you for each and every time that, Lord, we've been in a place, Lord, that you have shown yourself mighty and brought us out of those places, and Lord, just sustained us and kept us going through these many years. We thank you and we praise you. Thank you, Lord, for all the men of God through the years that have stood behind this pulpit. Lord, brought us to the brink and even over Jordan in times past. And, Lord, we have the memorials, these landmarks that we can look back to. But, Lord, we stand again, I believe, at this brink, and I pray that we'll be encouraged to just examine ourselves and see, and Lord, be excited about what you might have for us in these future days, future weeks to come. I ask and pray, Lord, that we will have that desire and that taste for revival. I ask and pray that you'd just do a great and mighty work in our hearts and our lives, and we'll thank you and praise you. We ask and pray that you bless the invitation. We ask and pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Lord, if you come standing, and we'll just sing that song there. It's 534. Brother Shepherd, if you'll come.